Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two on a rainy Wednesday here in our Music City. Here in Nashville, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. Tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 and everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It'll be the Predators and Barry Trotz and company and the New York Islanders. Big win for them last night. I was watching against the Flyers, and with that being said, a guy we loved being around in his long time here in Nashville, Barry Trotz is indeed on the line with us. Barry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We were talking at the beginning of the show. I said, I'm sitting there watching your game, and I'm thinking, you guys are up 3-0. Philadelphia comes battling back, and they get the late goal. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Flyers are going to get at least a point out of this. And what do you guys do? Turn around and just blast one in with about 35 seconds to go, and that was a big win.
Yeah, it was. Both back-to-back, obviously. We went into Washington and got a big win in Washington, and then came back home. We had some travel difficulties after the Washington game, got in real late, and then have to go out to Barclays and play the Flyers, who have been playing really well, and got a big win. So, the last 24 hours has been really two solid wins for us. So now we've got a little bit of a road trip here. Obviously, we're going to Nashville. On to Vegas, Arizona, Colorado. So it'll be a big trip for us going ahead here because the Metro Division's a bear this year.
No doubt about it. So I watched your game until it concluded. And then I started watching the Ducks and the Blues, and it was 1-1. And I got distracted with something else, and the next thing you know, I wasn't watching anymore. And so I didn't know until it had already happened. And quite honestly, the Jay Bomeister that happened last night on the bench, and they ended up canceling the game. I thought of, what was it, 05, when you guys were playing the Red Wings, Yuri Fisher, when that happened and the game was canceled. That's the first thing I thought of when I got word that that had happened.
Yeah, I just I saw the video that's been out there with Bo. I had the opportunity to work with Bo on some Team Canada events, and he is a terrific athlete, terrific player. And you see a player sitting there and then all of a sudden just collapsing on the bench. And it's sobering because of the fact that these athletes are not only in great shape and, you know, playing a physical sport, but the reality of someone having a cardiac event, which could close a life for a young man who is in fantastic shape and his family. And we are very fortunate that all rinks and all teams have just the best professionals. I know Ray Borelli in St. Louis is fantastic, and they got Jay stabilized and got him to the hospital, and they get from all accounts, he should be okay, but it's too early to know. I have no more facts than probably anybody else, but it is very sobering when you are in the middle of a game and an event like that. All the rest, everything around you doesn't matter if you're worried about that person and his family.
Yeah, no doubt. In fact, I brought that one up. Then Willie brought up and I'd forgot about it till he brought it up. The Rich Peverly, and I know you coached him, but this was after he had left here. I think it was when we were thinking it was when he was in Dallas, but I think that kind of ended his career. And Rich really turned around things after leaving here, but I think that happened to him as well.
Yeah, no, it did. Richie was you're so fortunate that you're in a position where you have doctors and trained medical staff right there, because you know anybody who's had a heart condition or had a stroke or anything like that. It's a matter of seconds, a matter of minutes, and we're fortunate that we're surrounded by those type of people that can save your life in that moment. And last night, it looked like that was the case.
Former Predators head coach, now New York Islanders head coach, Barry Trotz, on the line with us. And Barry, you've been doing this for a very long time, and so you've had to cross this bridge before as the head coach. And I had seen, and we talked about it on the show, that you had sent a pretty strong message to one of your superstars in Barzell that you weren't happy with some things that were going on. And John Hines is doing that right now with some of his better players, with, you know, pulling back with their ice time, and he's trying to send a message to them as well. How tough is it to do that? Like, it's one thing to do it to a fringe guy or a guy, you know, that's a bottom six, but when you have to send a message to a top guy or a guy who's even part of your leadership group, how do you – it's a delicate balance, right, as a head coach?
It is. It's all personality related. I mean, in our situation, I have a young player who's going to be terrific. And it's just understanding the mindset that you have to have in certain situations during the game. And it is a black and white situation. And if you're unwilling to, I'll say, take responsibility for any black and white situations, there's no gray there, then you got to send a harder message. Today's coaching is a lot different than it was years ago. I mean, with the guaranteed contracts and you've got players that are 6-7 year deals making, you know, $7-9 million a year. And the only thing that you really do have is ice time. You have a relationship and trust, and you have ice time. And if the relationship and trust is not working, or the encouragement and the teaching part is not working, then the only thing you have is ice time and as a coach. And so you either got to stand by your principal, or if you don't, then the player walks all over you, and it has an effect on your team. So to me, there's certain rules. You know, the coaching is not about equality. It's about actually inequality. No one gets the same ice time, the same responsibilities. But the one thing that has to be, in my opinion anyways, is the certain rules have to apply to everybody. You can't have certain rules that, you know, show up when you want because you're a superstar, and because you're a fringe player, you have to be on time. Those type of things are black and white. There is no cut and dry. And if everybody understands the rules, I mean, players to me in every sport want structure and they want rules. And once they understand the rules, they're fine. Some players, when they feel that there should be special rules, sometimes I think, especially in hockey, maybe in some other sports it works, but I know in our game it does not. So I'm not a big believer in that.
Barry Trotz is with us, head coach of the New York Islanders. They'll be taking on the Predators tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And Trotzy, I want to ask you about team defense in this current state of the NHL. The league wants higher scoring. They love the lead changes. It's getting harder and harder to hold teams under 3 goals a night. But you guys seem to give yourselves a chance most nights with really good team defense. How hard is it to do that these days with the way they call the game, et cetera?
It's really hard, and it's really hard for a couple of reasons. The player's individual skill level is increased. Our game is not in a it's the skill level in the game is higher than it's ever been. In terms of the use of the stick to defend, you can't use it as much. So it's all about positioning. It's all about straight lines, the defending. It's all about pride and work ethic, if you will, and what I call protocols in certain situations. And then you try to win those individual battles when they are there. And then you've got to get some good goaltending and some high commitment. And if you do that, you have a chance to defend. And if you have a chance to defend in this league, you have a chance to win games. And the offensive part of the game, there's so many good teams. They can make plays, plays that, you know, only one or two guys on a team could make. Maybe 10 years ago, you've got, you know, five or six guys that can make those plays. And the skill level and the speed of the game is tremendous. And it's evolved. Guys shoot it harder because of the technology, the training, the all the things that go into.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost Coach there for a second.
Let's put him on hold, Elijah. Let's see
if check if he's still there.
He got zapped. That was a good answer.
Yeah, it is hard to defend, and they actually got a win the other night in Washington, and that's the next thing I want to ask him, because you know everybody was home. Washington, a guy that he coached for a long time. Let's get Barry back on there. I think we've got him. We got to put him on hold here.
Let's see. I think we got Barry you back.
Okay, Trotsky, can you hear us?
Yeah, there you go. You went away on us. Sorry.
Sorry, we lost your second.
What's your last?
Well, you were talking about how tough it is to defend, and it was interesting, you know, just a couple of nights ago you mentioned you guys got big back-to-back wins. Had to be interesting for you. You're taking on your former team, and Alex Ovechkin, one of the greats of all time, is closing in on 700 goals. If he had a big night, he could have hit that milestone. So what's it like to try to defend him, knowing him the way you do?
You know, you just hope to contain him. I mean, his window to get a shot off is so small. I mean, he is the greatest goal scorer that's ever played the game. I'll publicly say that. I've said it for years. And you know, maybe down the road there will be someone greater than Alex. But Alex has done it for a long time. He's getting goals at his age, which is unprecedented. When Wayne Gretzky could get 97. When, you know, there was guys getting 60 and 70 a year. I mean, how he's translated a 50-goal season, you know, back in the 70s, those 50s would have been 70 or 80-goal seasons. So he's special to watch now. You're seeing a legend, you know, and I got a chance to coach a legend. As he's getting older and getting closer to that record, I appreciate it more and more, because I saw it day in and day out. And he's going to get 700. And I said before the game, if he got 700 against us, I'd be totally okay with that. Because I've seen 500 and 600 when I was there, and getting to see 700 would be special, as long as we won the hockey game.
Talking to Barry Trotz, New York Islanders head coach, of course, former Preds coach here with us. They'll take on the Preds tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And obviously, Barry, we're getting used to John Hines after David Poile made the coaching change about a month or so ago from Peter Laviolette. And I'm curious from your perspective of what it was like for you going from the Western Conference, being in this conference for 16 years, for so long with Nashville, and transitioning to the East. Is there a big transition between the two, or is it pretty seamless?
Well, I think in terms of the hockey, it's seamless because they're good hockey teams and all that. The biggest thing for me in the West versus the East, the travel in the East is so much better. I have to, without a doubt, it's the travel and wear and tear in their body is so much better. You know, for us, you know, I remember last year we came in, we had two road games in November. We had four road games in November. We had a Tampa, Florida trip, and then we had the Rangers in New Jersey. And, you know, as you get older, the travel, it really is beneficial for you. And that's why I think you see teams out east are fresher as the season goes on. Especially late in the season. So there's a big travel advantage in the East.
With John Hines coming in, obviously you played against him coaching in the East, both with Washington and the Islanders. David Poile, of course, said that, talking to Ray Shiro, Tom Fitzgerald, that was the connection there. But what can you tell us about John Hines and your interaction with him?
Well, you know, I didn't interact a lot with John, but I can tell you that his teams played with a lot of pace. Played with a tremendous work ethic, and they, you know, the one thing that they did is they stretched you out a little bit, and he loves to play a 200-foot game with his team. You know, have really good balance offensively and defensively, and I think he's you know, from everything I've heard, and I've have one individual that has worked with him, said he's tremendous to work with and has a tremendous work ethic on teaching the game and a great passion. So hopefully that translates in Nashville, and they can finish strong and get in themselves into the playoffs. And they've got a lot of talent there, and they'll be really dangerous if they do get in.
Barry, you've obviously done this a lot now since you left here. You've made the trip back, but is it still a little bit different whenever you come into Bridgestone Arena as the visiting coach?
It is, you know, a lot of water's gone under the bridge in terms of time. You know, obviously, I was in Washington for 4 years now. This is my second year in New York. So, you know, from my standpoint, I love going back. I love the city. I love the people. A lot of friends. I think I've got a lot of friends that we're going to do dinner tonight. And my daughter still lives there, and I've got a lot of background there. But it's a normal game. It's not, you know, an emotional game or anything like that. It's, you know, the Nashville Predators are an opposition. I love my time there. I still have a lot of ties to the city, and I go back there when I can. So going back is like going back home. So it's really a fun time to go back, and I got to have more success in that arena than I've had with our team. So that's the only thing that could make it more enjoyable.
As we wrap this up, Barry, I think you were in Barclays last night, right? I think you were in Brooklyn last night.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to an even split, the Island and Brooklyn. Have you guys ever at least started going to the wrong arena? Maybe not, you know. Is it a little confusing? I mean, how do you do that?
No, not at all. Actually, with when we are at the Coliseum, we're basically about not much more than a mile from our practice facility, which we practice, train, do all most of our meetings, and we never make that mistake. Usually when I go to Barclays, I take the 217 train into New York, right into Barclays Center, stop at a Starbucks, and walk right into the rink. So. That's how I do that, and we have a car service that brings us back home after the game. So I never make that mistake to this point, but I think when the Belmont facility will be fantastic. It'll be about 15 minutes from our practice facility right at Belmont Park. It's going to be spectacular. I've seen renderings of it, and I know a few coaches who don't mind the ponies or Eddie Olczyk on TV. They'll go there for the morning skate, and they might be there for the whole day.
Have you found a good sub place yet? I know you like the subs on game day.
You know what? We have I've had to give that up. We're very fortunate. We have a couple of chefs that are full time with us, and we eat in our facility. So. I do like a good sub once in a while, but I haven't had to do that on the island here.
Have they broke ground on your new place yet?
Yeah, no,
okay.
They have.
Okay.
They broke ground in the fall, so it's moving along very, very swiftly, and hopefully we get in there to start. We won't be in there next year, but the following year we should start there. So. It should be, you know, just like anything, that the newest buildings, the biggest and the baddest building on the block type of thing. So that's just the evolution of, I'll say, the facilities and in pro sports. So it should be really outstanding. And where it's located, it really connects, I'll say, the Queens, Long Island area where, you know, our fan base is, and they're pretty passionate. So that should be just the perfect spot. Obviously with the mass transit and all that, you can be anywhere on Long Island and get there. So it should be a real benefit to not only the organization, but for players and everybody involved, because it is going to be a fantastic facility. I could see it hosting everything from drafts to all-star games and all that because of the location and the facility itself.
That's awesome. Barry, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this as always, and we look forward to running into you tomorrow over at the arena.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right, that is Barry Trotz, New York Islanders head coach. Tomorrow night it'll be the Preds and the Islanders. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this Predators team. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Good stuff, Barry Trotz. Preds and Islanders tomorrow. We talked a lot about this Predators team yesterday on the show. And this is going to be a really important three-game stretch starting tomorrow night. An Islanders team that's very good, as we know. And then home and home with St. Louis over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Two earlier starts, 2 o'clock on Saturday, 5 o'clock on Sunday. And I think these are going to be three games that maybe when it's all said and done and we all walk out of the arena on Sunday night, I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of probably the mindset of where David Poile is. Because I think the picture as the deadline will be ever so closely. It'll be what? Monday will be the 17th, so that will be a week away. So Monday will be a week away from the trading deadline. I think David will have a good idea after these three games of maybe his path of whatever route he's going to take, however he's going to approach the trade deadline.
Well, like I told you guys the other day, I have a hard time thinking that it's going to change a whole lot between now and the trading deadline. Now, could you take a look at this schedule, these three games that they've got, and say, hey, could you go 0-3 in these games? Heck yeah. If you don't play well, you could drop all three of these things. And then you would be kind of in a very precarious position where you might have to just sit there. I mean, David Poile does not want to sell, right? The Predators do not want to sell. But if his hand is forced, at some point the reality would set in to say, you know what, you got to be realistic here. But I would like to think that the most likely scenario is they're going to be right on the bubble when it comes to February 25th, I guess, whatever. 24th, 25th, whatever the day is.
Mm-hmm. 24th.
What did they do the year they went to the Stanley Cup final? Was that P.A. Parenteau? Was that their big trade deadline move?
They didn't do much.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I mean, earlier in that season, they had picked up Cody McLeod. But there wasn't a big, huge acquisition that year.
There wasn't a big splash move.
Some hockey trades, essentially, is what they were. I mean, they were just depth and, you know, some pieces.
Hunt. Didn't they have Brad Hunt, P.A. Parenteau?
Yeah, but I think Brad Hunt was like a waiver claim.
Right, but I'm talking about the additions.
Yeah. And these were depth guys that didn't play every night. I mean, P.A. Parenteau played a couple times. McLeod, we know the impact he made.
Vern Fiddler.
That was a little bit earlier than the deadline, but yeah.
But it was around that time.
I think as you look at this particular roster, you know, as far as additions, I don't think you look around and say – they need additions. They need the guys that they have to play well. So yeah. John Hines, I think, is dealing with some of the same challenges that the previous staff inherited and still trying to work through those challenges. Now, Ryan Ellis today still on the fourth pairing. I wonder if there'll be any kind of update today. I mean, now that he's flown back, he's gone through a week being with the team on the road. You would seem like he's getting closer, but you know, this would tell me that he's not likely to play tomorrow, right? They desperately need to get him back in there.
That would make a huge difference.
So he is, you know, if he keeps progressing, you would hope that he can be somewhat of an addition, you know, from what they've been dealing with now for a month and a half without one of their best players. They've actually done a reasonable job without him. That could have been a disastrous injury here. They've got to have him back. But other than maybe adding a veteran defenseman, I don't know that I have a long list of, you know, glaring needs. It's the pieces are there. It's just a matter of them playing to their potential. But it is continuing to be, you know, a frustrating situation where they just have not been able to string that sustained run of success that they need from now, somewhere between now and the end of the season. They've got 27 games in the last 52 days of the season. That's a lot of hockey. It starts tomorrow, 27 and 52. Seven back-to-backs in there. And if you look at the teams that they're playing, there are not a lot of games against teams that are out of it.
Right.
Now, sometimes those
games can be a curse. Well, don't they have one of the toughest schedules the rest of the way in the league?
There's different ways to, you know, compute how tough you think the schedule is. You know, the good thing is they've gotten done with all of their long, sustained road trips to the West, right? Those are gone. There's been some times down the stretch where they've been bouncing around all the different time zones late in the season, and I think that's a grind. You just heard Barry Trotz talk about the grind of the travel.
Right.
Their travel, in terms of mileage, is not as bad now. And they've got a home-heavy schedule. In fact, eight of the next 10 games at home.
Well, that was their latest start the rest of the way, the Vancouver game.
Yes.
They've got an 8:30 game and an 8 o'clock game, and everything else is like 7 or earlier the rest of the way.
Right.
And they got a 5 o'clock game on Sunday, 2 o'clock on Saturday with St. Louis, so that helps too.
But they are playing teams that are in it. For the most part, there's only a handful of games against teams that are out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be playing teams that are good hockey teams for something.
I think when you're trying to get a team to buy in and change their way of thinking and get some guys to go to the next level, you want to play the tough teams.
Line is that doesn't matter. Okay. They lost to Anaheim. They've lost to teams they should have beat. And it doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, what does that have to – look, they went out there and – they took care of two really good teams in Winnipeg and Calgary, had Edmonton on the ropes. They've lost to Anaheim, could have lost to New Jersey. I mean, they've played lousy teams and haven't
That's
played
what
well.
I'm so, saying
I mean,
play we, the play
we've
the good teams.
Talked about all the right. What I'm saying, we've played
because you don't have a choice at this point.
Lousy teams and it doesn't matter. Like the bottom line is, as we've talked about, if you're not playing the way John Hines is trying to get them to play, it doesn't matter who you play.
Right, I know.
And if their good players don't step up and start playing better, it doesn't matter who you're playing.
But how many times have we talked about, to your point, with New Jersey and Anaheim playing down to the competition? Now you can't do that. You have to play playoff teams, so you have to play up. That's what I want to see out of this team.
I'm with you. I probably would just rather see them do that.
That's my point.
That has their attention. Like, if you don't, you're going to get run out of the barn.
Right. And we'll use their word. It's the wake-up call or their phrase. That's what this is. So now you got to play against playoff teams. I mean, this schedule is not easy at all. Two back to back against St. Louis after the Islanders, Carolina, Chicago, Columbus.
Yep. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I have a concern about sitting our high dollar players, and you may have discussed this. I haven't been able to listen this much lately, but. But here's my concern. When you sit these guys, and I don't think Duchesne and Forsberg have had to deal with this much, but I think this is the second or third time Joey's been sat down. How long is it before you go from, you know, a player who's disappointed and then it goes to a player who's disgruntled and then a player who's talking to the guy in the stall next to him about, you know, what's going on, this guy doesn't know this and why is he doing this, and then you get a little crack in the foundation, and then the next thing you know you're dealing with a split in the team in the dressing room, and it becomes a bigger problem than it is. And I heard, I think it was Adam Dingen on earlier this morning, maybe not, but mentioned the fact that they weren't sure that sitting them would do as much good as if you actually gave them more ice time to allow them to play through whatever slump or whatever's causing them to not be productive.
Yeah, Adam was on with us yesterday for a good while, and me and him disagree on this. And I know there's a lot of people in the Adam camp like you. Okay, Matt Duchesne has one goal in the last 12 games. Ryan Johansson has two goals in the last 15 games. Philip Forsberg has two goals in the last 10 games, and that was in one game. Okay, so they've been playing the minutes. Well, what's going to change? If you have to change a mentality, he talks about mentality and attitude and the right approach to every game. If you have to change that and it's not working, you think more minutes changes that? You think all of a sudden minutes magically
and here's,
that changes that? I mean, what other recourse does a head coach have?
But let me also add to what you're saying.
To make it, send in a point to guys making $8 million, $8 million, and $6 million. That's $22 million right there that I told you in quick math. That is five goals in basically a dozen games.
Well, you could keep going. I mean, Kyle Turris and Victor Arvidsson are also on long stretches where they're not doing a whole lot.
So you want to give them 22 minutes a game and see if they can work their way out of it? Like, I don't understand the mentality of how dare you sit them. If you sit them, you lessen your chances. Well, they've been playing and they haven't been producing. So what do you want? What do you think is going to happen?
Here's the other part of the equation is in addition to those guys who are struggling, you have other guys on your team, Nick Bonino, Rocco Grimaldi, for example. Those guys were, let's just take the game on Monday night. You're down 3-0. You're not happy with how things are going. You get a spark going in the second period. You get down 4-0 on a miraculous bounce. Then all of a sudden, you're playing well. The guys that they had in there, Granlund, Bonino,
Smith,
Sissons, Yarncroak, they were all over the net. Those guys have had a reasonable amount of production during the year. So it's not like you're putting me, you, and Chase in there, you know, as a line.
And giving up.
Well, we have no chance of scoring.
Now, you've seen me skate, so.
I did. Yeah. We almost brought you up the other night on Chase and your thing. But I wouldn't have been a whole lot better. I'd been hanging on that wall, too. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you have other options on this team that are viable options. It's a very balanced team. In fact, they are number one in the league in players that have 11 or more goals. So you have other options, right? But I see the dilemma. But this is the same dilemma that Peter Laviolette had, right? John Hines is trying to figure out, how do I get the best out of my best guys?
Now,
right?
It's
not his intention to bench these guys every game.
The best example you've got working in your favor, Bicycle Boy, is Peter Laviolette did this with Kyle Turris, and it backfired. It severed their relationship. So you've got that in your back pocket going back to, you know, dealing with what happens, what are the repercussions when you do this, because it went south for the head coach and Kyle Turris. It did.
Well, that's my original question was how long is it going to be before some of these other guys go from just being disappointed to now they're, you know, going a little further with it. I'm just concerned about it, and I'm not saying more ice time is the solution. I don't know what the solution is. We're all baffled by what's going on.
I don't think anybody knows what the solution is. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, the solution is you keep, as a player, you keep coming in and trying to fight through it and having the next day be your best day.
Yeah,
and as the coach, you keep tinkering. That today they've tinkered the lines a little bit. You gotta put it on yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror. Am I doing the job? Those guys know it.
Yeah, but
right?
have they looked at themselves in the mirror?
I think they have.
I think some guys have.
I don't know. I don't know how you can say that whenever the coach basically called them out on Monday night without saying their names. He called them out by his actions.
Well, what I'm saying is,
and he said he keeps bringing up the mentality you have to bring to the rink night in and night out. There's a reason he's bringing that up.
Right, and he's playing the guys that are bringing that mentality.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Mikhail Granlund, Craig Smith, Nick Bonino, those guys, Rocco Grimaldi, those guys are bringing it. Cali Yarncroak hadn't played in a while. He easily could have scored a couple. Colton Sissons is starting to get it back.
Yep.
That's what they need. They need everybody to bring that lunch pail and bring it. It was frustrating because they played four quality teams on this road trip, right? Four teams that they're going to have to finish ahead of at least two or three of them, right, to make the playoffs. That could have been a disastrous road trip.
They played well in three of the four.
They played well enough to win in three of the four. That's what was so frustrating
about
Monday.
Could have been a really good road trip, too.
Yeah, that's what was so frustrating about Monday is they didn't bring it to the table in the first period. By the time they got it going, it was too late. You just can't climb out of that kind of hole. And they got a couple of everything that they could have gone wrong went wrong against Vancouver. I don't know what it was. They had bad bounces on top of, you know, stretches of the game where they didn't play well. But that first period was so disappointing. in the situation that they were in. But the idea of benching guys for a stretch of a game is with the idea that they'll respond and play better the next time out. You're not going to bench them for several games.
I was on a
Winnipeg
station.
You're sending a message for that game.
Was it 12:90 yesterday after the show? And their question was, you know, where's the fan base on what John Hynes is doing? And I said, it's a mixed bag. And that's what we've been talking about the last 2 days, right? There's people in the Bicycle Boy camp. There's a lot of people in the Bicycle Boy camp. There's a lot of people in the camp of kind of what I've been saying the last 2 days. Well, at some point, if you have to send a message, what else is a coach supposed to do? I mean, it's either lessen minutes, it's either move them down. Now we're talking about bottom six forwards. I don't know, healthy scratch them. And if you don't do that, what do you want him to blow up in practice and throw sticks and go on a big rant and we can video it and it'll go viral? And I mean, or just sit and do nothing? Do you want John Hynes to sit on his hands and do nothing? I mean, clearly they haven't been in the playoff picture since the middle of November. We're in the middle of February. There's 27 games left. You have to do something. Sitting idle, I think we all can agree, at least I think we should all get on this page. Sitting idle is not the answer, is not the solution. Right. Like, something has to change. I mean, one way or the other, at least you have to try.
They're 5 points back right now.
But I said it's a mixed bag. Do you guys agree?
Yeah,
I think it's basically split down the middle. I think there's half that are on one side and half that are on the other.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, we went in depth with it yesterday of the theories that we have. You know, did Peter Laviolette back off too much and there's some complacency and now John Hynes is trying to fix that? I mean, there are all these theories. There's all these things that we can talk about, but I don't think anyone really knows the answer except for the guys in that room. And you see the ones that are doing the extra work and they're taking it to another level. And then you see the ones that aren't. And that's the problem. That the ones that aren't are the ones that you're paying the most money to.
Looks like a coach in the Predators division is going to receive a multi-year extension today. We'll tell you about that and continue our discussion on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon, our weekly chat with him. Right now we're talking about the Predators, and Steve wants to weigh in. Steve, what's up?
Hey, been listening every day, and I just wanted to get your opinion. It may be coincidence, but you know, at the end of October, we were what, in second or third place in the Central Division?
They had a very good October. Very good October.
Yeah. Okay. And wasn't that when they announced that contract extension for Roman?
At the end of October? It was the same week because they announced Austin Watson on Halloween.
Right.
And Halloween was when everything
game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we nosedive in November. I don't know, is that coincidence or is there something?
Total coincidence.
Internally, yeah. Players didn't like that. I'm gonna hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Yeah, I would say that is complete coincidence, and players didn't like it. I mean, Roman Josi's been their best player this year, and it's really not even close.
It's been unbelievable.
He's just been out of his mind. So I don't think it's that. He's the captain. Everybody loves him in the room. So, no, I don't believe it's because of a Roman Josi contract extension.
I think you can't say enough about what Roman Josi has done because he's been playing without Ryan Ellis since New Year's Day, and he continues to play at a point-per-game pace, even though he's been playing. And this is no offense to these guys, but he's been playing with Yannick Weber or Dante Fabro, or a mixture of the two. And, you know, he still has maintained excellence on the ice. I think he has done a fantastic job. And the coaching change, he's had to adjust his style a little bit to the style that John Hynes has brought in there. It just says a lot about him. You feel for these guys. Like Pekka Rinne, I felt so bad for him. You know, how badly he wants to succeed. And he got kind of hung out to dry on Monday, but it's been a tough thing. This has got to be one of the biggest mental tests, I think, for these guys. I would say it's the biggest mental test that these guys have had since they've been together, and I'm talking about the nucleus when you throw in Matthias Ekholm and Josi Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, right? Victor Arvidsson is in a slump right now. He's fighting. He tries hard. Something is off in his game. I don't know if it's physical. This is the thing that never hear them use an excuse of, well, he's not 100%.
But he hasn't been the same since
he's just
came
not
back.
The same right now.
What,
he's not himself.
A dozen games?
Yeah, he's not himself.
No, he hasn't been the same.
He's fighting it. And you can't tell me he's not a competitor, right? Yeah. You can't tell me he's a guy that mails it in. Mm-hmm. He's the most inspirational player that they have.
You
right?
wonder
but he's off. Say, Philip Forsberg is leading the team in goals. He's not having a bad year. But he is not playing at the level that we've seen him before. It's mystifying, right? Matt Duchene, look at his numbers in the past few years compared to what he is now.
That's the one I can't
figure
out.
It's hard to figure, right? Now, it looks like they're moving him back to center. They're sliding Turris over the wing. So they keep trying the different combinations to bring out the best. Ryan Johansson's another guy, right? His numbers are down. Why? I don't know. But they struggle with this every day. So it becomes a mental thing, right? This is, players go through slumps, teams go through slumps. You just have to keep fighting through it. There's no other way to say it. John Hines is doing everything he can. Maybe it won't happen this year, right? The reality is, maybe it won't happen, but they still have time. I'm looking at the sports club stats. The good news for the Predators, and really everybody in the West, is that it's going to be a lot higher point total to get in the East. Right, it's looking like 97, 98 points is what you're going to need to safely get in the East. In the West, you could get in with 93 or 94. And to do that, the Predators need about 16 wins, 15 or 16 wins, depending on how many of the losses would be in overtime, to get to that 93, 94 point mark. So it's still doable, but they've got to play better than they have in a long, long time.
I told you guys during the break, one thing that I was frustrated with, and look, for all the fans that are frustrated, everybody gets it. That's good. That's okay. Be frustrated. That means you care.
Yes.
It means you're all in. Be frustrated. You should be. If you're not, then you're not really a fan. You're not hard, you're not really paying close attention. So it's okay. And I was telling these guys during the break, there's one thing that really frustrated me, and I haven't even brought this up on the show. Like going into that Vancouver game, I played sports my whole life. You guys know I'm a competitive SOB. I hate losing.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, I hate losing. It drives me crazy. No matter what I do, I hate losing. I'm not good at it sometimes. I'm not. I don't always handle it the best. But I got nothing in. I mean, I'm just sitting in here Monday by myself in the studio. I'm not playing. I'm not coaching. There's nothing I can do. But I think what frustrated me is if I could play, which I can't, if going into that Vancouver game, there's one thing that would have been crystal clear to me if I was a player. I would have said in that room, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I can't tell you how this is going to play out. But there is one thing I can tell you isn't going to happen. Okay? And I'll make dang sure on my part. Let's just pretend I was a part of the penalty kill on special teams. I can promise you this. There will not be a power play goal tonight. Okay, I can promise you that. Vancouver is not going to have a power play goal tonight. That is what I can bring to the table and promise you. What else happens, I can't promise you that. But I can tell you, when Vancouver has the man advantage, if they get the man advantage, they're not scoring a power play goal tonight. That's what I do know. And that's what I would have stood up in a room and said, because 10 power play goals in a three-game series, I don't even know how you go about trying to explain that. How in the world do you give up 10 power play goals to the same team that you played three times in a season?
It's got to be historic.
I've never even heard of such a thing.
At one point, it was 10 for 11. They killed the last two.
You're right.
I would like to see how that compares to all time.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, in those 10, I think if you look, there are some that you look and you say, was that a little bit unlucky? Yeah. But 10 is 10, right? Now, I think that's a great thing that you're saying. Do you not think that they were in that room?
I don't know.
How do you not know?
I hope so. I hope somebody stood up and gave a speech that.
I will guarantee you they had a special teams meeting. They knew the numbers. They knew it was 8 out of 9. Now, I don't know if they stood up. And,
but did they guarantee like I did? I guaranteed it's not happening.
But
this it's not happening on my watch.
But this is sports, right? Part of sports is you can say guarantee and you can try to psych yourself up as much as you can and have all the determination. The other team does have some pretty good players. The power play goal at the start of the game, which was the significant one, right? The one at the end of the game just, I guess, was the sixth goal. It was one, honestly, UC Soros should have had. But Elias Pettersson, he made an unbelievably good play. You know, everybody in the rink thought he was shooting.
Well,
he made a perfect pass in front.
He's a pretty good player. Okay.
Sometimes you can have all the great terms, and a great player makes a great play.
Did anybody deliver the speech, in your opinion, that I just delivered in that room before the game?
Not in your words.
Say no.
Not in your words, but I guarantee you they had that version of the speech.
No, well, I'm disappointed.
But here's
I wanted a speech like that to happen.
Well, here to your point, here's the deal. And I like a lot of these guys on this team. I don't think they have you. They don't have that guy that's going to get up there and be like, "Hey, we're not giving up a power play goal tonight." All right? I don't care what else happens. We're not giving up a power play goal. I don't think they have that. That's the problem.
I don't know that you absolutely have to have that speech to be a good penalty-killing team. It has been...
No, but you
I
need somebody that's going to get up in there, you know what. And Roman Josi has done the best that he can with that. And I think he's a tremendous captain, but that's also not his personality. You know, that's just he's not going to scream, at least from what I've seen.
I was more concerned about the overall edge that they lacked in the first period as a whole, not specifically the penalty kill.
Well, a speech like that, Willie, sets a tone or an edge for somebody to stand up and say, you know what?
On certain nights.
I will tell you, though, tonight we're not giving up a power play goal. Listen to me. We're not. Look at me. Look at me. We're not giving up a power play goal tonight.
On certain nights, I think that can be a nice
ingredient sets a tone
to have. Yeah. So I don't know. But that they had played three solid games where you're thinking, okay, this is coming around a little bit. I can see it. And then to have that first period was very disappointing.
I bet this guy could deliver a speech like that. Ultimate Predator. What's up?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. Now listen, I've been hearing some stuff around. I've heard it on this show a little bit. Not from you guys, but from some of these fans. And I know it's not time for you made the list, but let me tell you what's making my list right now. I do not believe that these boys that are getting paid the big bucks, as some people have said, are now resting on their laurels. I've never met a hockey player that didn't want to make it to the cup and hoist that thing in the air just because they got paid. So that is something that I completely disagree with, that I keep hearing over and over again. Now, what the problem with this team is, I don't know. It's something in their heads. There's something going on that just isn't clicking. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's chemistry. I don't know if it's all the line shuffling, getting the benched time, getting off the ice. I'm not sure what it is, but what I do know is this, that I still believe in this team, that I still believe that we can and will make the playoffs, probably as a wild card, maybe that last wild card spot. And maybe I am Captain Optimism and just the epitome of craziness in this fan base, but I believe it. I believe this team will click. I stand by what Hines is doing. I think if you are producing, you should get more time. It doesn't matter what you're getting paid. But I believe this team makes the playoffs. I believe it is not because they're getting paid that the guys are not producing. And I believe that we make it in as the wild card. That, gentlemen, is what I know. I am still standing.
This is what I know is on Mondays, but he just did it on a Wednesday.
Well, he combined two things, the
he
list.
Did.
This
yeah,
is what I know.
Good. One more. Scott.
Why is it?
What's up?
Hey, guys. I know you're coming close to a break, but maybe give you a few things to chew on. I haven't given up yet. I'm going to love them no matter what. But when do we start talking about what David Poile is kind of putting together here? I mean, you bring in Matt Duchene because you think that's the missing piece, but you're bringing in, like, a sixth center on a team. You can only run four lines when this team needs a winger that can score for years. And, you know, you get rid of Laviolette. You bring in John Hines 12 hours later, a guy who's known for developing players because of his connection with USA Hockey. And this isn't a team that needs development. It's a team that has veterans. And veterans may not react to what he's used to doing with youthful players. And I guess one thing I want you to kind of think about is, like, you know, P.K. Subban, his production's down, obviously, with New Jersey's on a bad team, but, you know, he was the guy in the locker room that got everybody fired up. When the media needed to go to somebody for a comment, he was the guy who wasn't afraid to say anything. And most of the leaders you have, Roman included, are guys who just, this is what I do on the ice. They may not be that vocal leader, and I think that may be internally what they may be missing. So just I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say about that.
All right, thank you, Scott.
The only thing I'll say is how somebody is portrayed in front of the media or how a guy presents himself to the media may not be the same as his role in the locker room in situations like that. And I don't know, I don't pretend to know exactly who was doing what in the locker room last year as opposed to this year. I will say this. If they can get Ryan Ellis back in there, that will help all of these things that we're talking about. He is the associate captain by title for a reason. I mean, I do think he carries a lot of these ingredients that we're talking about.
Elliot Freeman is reporting, of course, he will join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock, that Paul Maurice is set to get an extension in Winnipeg. We'll come back, kick off the third hour with Tim Hasselbeck. That's next.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No